Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, I apologize for the late reminder, but this Thursday we'll be doing another bonus Q&A episode. So please get your questions in, call us, and leave a voicemail at 470-300-4915. And remember to tune in this Thursday. The following program contains distressing content and graphic details regarding suicide. This may be triggering for survivors of suicide loss and those with lived experience. Please proceed with caution. If you're in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or text TALK to 741-741. For more resources, please visit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's website at afsp.org/find support.
Okay, I'm not going to take anything to write with. Okay? But I'm rolling. All right, guys. All right, let's do one for Christian.
Back in March of 2019, we sent a team to where this all started, Meridian, Mississippi. Two of our producers, Mark and Jacob, traveled with all eight of our private investigators, Jay, Claudia, Mike, Brandy, George, Mark G, Troy, and Sheila. Here's Sheila.
The Meridian trip was set up that we would all go in on one day, have 2 days to do interviews, and get out. Assignments were given to each investigator before they got there in Meridian, so each person knew the background of the person they were supposed to locate. But there are things that come up when you do an investigation you don't count on. You have to be very fluid. So we had a command center, and I had Lori taking all the information and was a central place for investigative information.
The people on the list were people whose names had been brought up in some way throughout this case. People who were dating potential suspects at the time. People in the same friend circle as Whitley and Dylan. People who were at gun night. You never know who's going to have some piece of information that you're going to need. And because of that, you don't know who may tip off who. So it's important to split up, talk to everyone in a timely manner, and get in and get out.
So the game plan would be to divide and conquer. Jacob would pair up with Jay, Claudia, and Mike, the same group that went to Key West. Mark would go with Mark G and Troy. And Brandy and George were together. These groups would try and speak with the long list of names we compiled. and Sheila would fly solo and do some behind-the-scenes work, meeting with the Andriacchios and various locals around town.
I was able to talk to several people, and everybody I spoke to was so nice. So as a community, the average citizen that goes to work and does their job are just really nice people. What was interesting was the actual aesthetics of Meridian. It was definitely a place that I thought to myself was hit by very hard times. So it's either a depressed community that was hit hard by economics, or it's a community that the politicians are not doing right by their constituents. Through all the interviews and our time in Meridian, I believe that we were able to get a good picture that everybody knows that it was not suicide. Everybody seems to know that it's a cover-up. And again, we're talking to witnesses, the average citizen. We're not getting involved in the politics at that point. At that point, we weren't understanding what the problem was. It was interesting that the narrative was the citizens knew something was wrong. They knew there was a cover-up. They knew who the person was who was doing the cover-up. And it was accepted.
As mentioned at the end of our last episode, this trip to Meridian provided much more audio and information than the trip to Key West did. So, we'd like to walk you through what all happened in Meridian. I'll have Jacob break down the events as they unfolded.
On day one, Mark went with two of our PIs, Mark G and Troy, to try to track down Dylan and get his side of the story.
In 1.1 miles.
So when we roll up to his door, I'm shotgun mic in hand. That's going to be okay?
It's the next lap.
They found out where he was living and went to his apartment.
What's the 13?
They knocked on his door several times, which triggered some dog barking from inside the apartment that seemed to be quickly hushed by someone inside.
Lights on.
They realized he wasn't going to answer the door and got back in the truck to do surveillance.
No answer, kitchen lights on, cigarette butts in the windowsill, and a drink in the windowsill, like a styrofoam white cup.
Yeah.
Two dogs inside barking. After our second knock, the dogs stopped barking. Got real quiet, and my opinion appears like somebody's home. They've got keyhole eyes, so my opinion is somebody was home and not answering the door.
While they were pursuing Dylan, Jay, Claudia, Mike, and I set out to try to find Jet Miller. To refresh, Jet was the cousin of Matt Miller, and allegedly, Whitley went with Matt to Jet's house the night before Christian died. That night, they shot a gun in a nearby field, and this became Whitley's excuse for why she had gunshot residue on her hands at the scene of the crime the next day. For the most part, Jet has been consistent that Whitley shot his gun that night, but the MPD report mentioned that one person stated that he told them they didn't shoot his gun that night. As it pertains to Christian, Jet has remained adamant that he had no part in his death, and he knows nothing of what happened that day. Jet was also very close friends with Hayes Mitchell, the son of former district attorney, Bilbo Mitchell. All this to say, we felt it was very important to try to speak with him.
There's a truck right back there. It's a blue truck.
Yep.
So what's the game plan? You guys rolling up there? Alright, so we're pulling in Jet's driveway.
There's lights on inside.
TV's on.
There's another truck down there.
Yeah, TV. Alright, let's go.
Alright, Jay and Mike are going to walk up to Jet's door. Gosh. Can you see the front door?
Well, no, I can see them.
I can see them. You can see them? Alright, we're walking up there.
Jet.
What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Jacob.
All
right. Hey, yeah, that's cool because you know all the players, everything in the situation, so we want to just whatever you know.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know anything.
Just so you know, also, we've talked to a bunch of people. We were in the Keys. We already went, saw Whit. We talked to everybody down there. We're here now. And one of the reasons we came was like, because your name kept coming up, to be honest. That's why we came. But then we started seeing, apparently, that, you know, you changed your life around, which is great. You know, everybody does that every now and then. So I was like, you know what? Why are they talking about him or to him? Let's just go talk to him and see, you know what I mean? Because I feel like you would tell us, if anything, what exactly happens. You know,
and again, I don't know what happened. I mean, we were shooting guns that night, and the next day he's gone. I mean, I didn't even hang out with the dude. Yeah. I don't know.
Did Whitley shoot that night, or no? That you remember?
As I remember, yes, she did. But as this goes on and on and on, this was so long ago that I don't even damn all the, everything's getting twisted up and. And I don't remember that.
Because I know Matt was mentioning that he was holding her ears the whole time or whatever. So,
as far as Whitley shooting a gun that night or not,
you're not too sure.
Don't remember.
No.
Is the next day though? The day that was February 26th. So this was February 25th. You were shooting guns. On February 26th, was there any communication to you? A phone call? Anybody? Text message?
Nope.
Nothing. We have this eyewitness that saw people coming out
in and out
of the apartment that day. And so we're just trying to tie down. We're close. But do you have any idea who that could be the day that it happened?
I don't even know where he lived. I didn't even hang out with the dude. I didn't even talk to him. No.
Willie just seems to be a source of misinformation.
Yeah.
Do you know her very well?
She went to my high school, but I don't know her. No.
Yeah, because...
And again, this was all... Just because we were doing this that night, and then this happened the next day, that's why I was involved, and Matt's involved.
Yeah.
Do you know Dylan very well?
Mm-mm.
No. You don't even know him?
Mm-mm.
Who all was shooting guns?
Well, but who was all with me? It was me, Matt, Whitley, and a couple other people. But
so there were two other people shooting guns with you guys that night?
Yeah, but they didn't.
Was that Burns or Travis or Hayes?
Do you communicate with
Travis? Hayes is gone.
Yeah, I know he is.
No, that was one of my best friends. No, they shouldn't even be a part of it.
Gotcha.
I mean, who you just said. They shouldn't be witnesses at all.
Gotcha.
No.
Did Christian's name come up at all at gun night? So some stuff that came out that we're aware of that shows that he knew that you guys were there.
Where?
I
don't know. I mean, no.
So is you Whitley, Matt, and then who were the other two people shooting guns?
They were never mentioned.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get them involved. But
it wasn't Burns.
Was Burns here? Because I know Burns was another one.
No, he wasn't here. He was not here.
No?
And it wasn't Hayes?
Well, Hayes.
Mitchell?
Yeah, but Hayes, that's doing no good.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Right, but was he here shooting the guns?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you really think could have happened? You know, just from overall, just from Monday morning quarterbacking, kind of seeing what's going on, you know what I mean? Like
somebody killed him?
Obviously, but you know, like you think Dylan, well, I know you didn't know Dylan too much, or Whitley, they have the capability of doing that?
Anybody could.
Yeah.
Anybody could.
Do you think there's a chance it could have been a suicide, or do you think he was shot?
From what I know, I have no evidence of him doing it or somebody else doing it.
My thing is, I want to know, you know, why she, you know, it keeps this person here, this person there, and then she's like, oh, it's an accident. No, I was asleep. I'm gonna be honest, man. You know, you hear a freaking gun. I don't give a shit. You're sleeping inside your place, inside an apartment. You're gonna wake the hell up. You know, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, but it also was the bullet entry or whatever.
Doesn't make sense.
Wait a second. Where is the bullet entry? For my own clarification.
In the back.
Right here.
In the back.
Yeah.
Where did you hear that? I'm just curious.
Where did I hear what?
Where the bullet came in.
The only time I heard about it was on the TV show, whenever all that.
On the Crime Watch camera.
Yeah, and then it got lodged in right here, I mean, and plus it goes back, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it got lodged in on that side, on his left side, you know?
I don't know.
No, but even if you see, like you said, the entry wound and where the bullet is, it makes no sense.
How
you know?
It looks, it looks like somebody killed him, but you don't know what somebody's thinking, you don't know what he was thinking. Why'd he come back a week earlier from offshore, who knows?
Why did, well, we kind of...
One thing we found interesting from speaking with Jet was that he knew exactly where the entry wound was located on Christian's head, above and behind his right ear. Mike asked him how he knew this information, and he said he saw it in the Crime Watch special that aired back in 2017. We went back and watched the video, and they did not say the exact location of the entry wound. They just mentioned he was shot in the right temple, which seems to be the common narrative in the public.
How does it make you feel, I guess, that your name does keep coming up?
I mean, it is what it is. I didn't do it, and I don't know anything about who did it.
At the end of the day, we're just trying to get something that we can figure out for the family, because the family just needs to know.
I understand, I understand that.
But at the end of the day, we're all going to be judged one way or another. And that day comes. Hopefully we got a lot of life before that comes.
Thanks for your time, man.
Thank you for your time.
God bless you.
Yeah, take care of your family, man. Who's first?
Thank you.
All right. Later, brother.
What's y'all's gut say after that conversation?
I don't know. I think he knows 100% what happened. I just don't think he's giving it up.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Something is happening in Dawson Creek. A wave of violence has swept over this community of just 13,000 people.
It's like the kind of stuff you only hear about on TV.
15 murders in the last 5 years.
Some criminals, I put them into the category of supervillains.
I'm Timothy Sawa, and from CBC's Uncover and the Fifth Estate, an investigation into deaths and disappearances in Dawson Creek and what's behind it all.
I'm not saying another word. Leave me alone.
The Mile Zero Murders, available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
After meeting with Jet, we called the other group to see if they had any luck speaking with Dylan. They had left to try to track down another person on the list who we'll get to later. So we headed over to Dylan's apartment to fill in for them and do some surveillance.
Do we want to keep somebody on Dylan's car?
Yeah, I'm staying here for right now, just a little bit.
A short time after we arrived, we saw a female exit the apartment, who we later found out was Dylan's girlfriend, Kinsey.
Are y'all like really parked right up there beside the building though?
Yeah, right around front.
She's going in the back. They might be waiting on Dylan to come out, but everybody be prepared.
She must have been suspicious of us, because she walked out to her car, which was parked near ours, and kept an eye on our car the entire time. It also appeared that she attempted to take a picture of us while rooting around in her car. She went back to the apartment with a bag in hand that she'd retrieved from the car.
And she has her hand in the bag.
That's dangerous. Get ready to roll, boys.
A few minutes passed, and then a car pulled up and backed into a parking spot next to Kinsey's car, to which we couldn't see the license plate. Kinsey exited the apartment again, and this time she got into the car with the female who was driving it. We made a call to Mark and his team as this was going down. So they were actually headed back towards us.
We're here. Stand by.
There she comes back out.
She's tightrope walking. So why did she bother to go back in the same residence?
They got dogs. So
all right, they're pulling out.
Pulling out.
They're coming your way. Get ready to tail.
Wait, don't move yet. Don't move yet.
All right, guys, they're coming your way.
Wait. She's coming right at us.
She's probably going to make a left and come back left again. Watch.
All right, we're behind her.
Okay, I'm gonna stay on her wherever she goes.
Mark and his team followed them at a close but safe distance, hoping they make a stop so they could try to talk with them.
Oh, wait, they got police.
Somebody else is watching.
Somebody else is watching them. There's an unmarked SUV turning in behind them. They kept straight. They went to the Sonic. They're in the Sonic now.
They went to Sonic?
When they followed them into a Sonic drive-in, it seemed like they found their opportunity.
All right, this is it. All right, hold on. We got to get out in a second.
Her name's McKenzie.
All right, we're going to approach him.
All right, we're going to approach him.
All right. No, I can't. Hey, how's it going? Can you tell me where Dylan is at? I'm Mark Gillespie. Just how can I? What business do I have? I need to talk to him about a case that I'm working on. You know what case that is?
Is it the one that's blown on here?
Which one is that?
Billboard.
Yeah, I saw that billboard. Yeah, how do I reach him? Huh? I can't.
If you haven't already, then we'll be calling that.
No.
Cop. Are you the cop?
Well, that doesn't matter. How do I? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
You don't matter.
Okay. Okay. Tell me how to reach Dylan. Why not? No, it is my business.
The fact that you're knocking on my door, hanging out around my house,
following me.
No, that's perfectly okay.
So what's up? What's up?
I need to speak with Dylan.
You're not speaking.
Lead me to him.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Man, I'm on a window.
Okay. Tell us where to find him. How to find him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, sweetie. You take care. Okay. All right, nothing. They're not giving up anything except their ass.
No, they're not.
They just called the cops, but that's okay. Hey, have a great day. We'll see. We'll get what we want. We're gonna. Pardon me?
I said fuck you.
Now, why are you talking to us like that?
I do what I want. You followed me. You waited outside my home. You followed me.
I wasn't outside your home.
Well, one of your little friends was outside my home.
Okay, but I wasn't outside your home.
You followed me here. So obviously, you were watching my home.
I wasn't watching anything.
Somebody was watching my home.
Okay.
Followed me.
Well, tell Dylan that we need to speak with him. Okay. And I'm not surprised. But you know what? We will get what we want. No, you know what we want.
What?
You both know what we want.
Okay, what? Tell me, I don't.
All right, well, you guys have a good day.
Are you fucking intimidating me or something?
Oh, hell no.
Good, don't get it fucking twisted.
Hey, have a good day.
One of my favorite Meridian parts, though, was Dylan. Anytime we go to talk to Dylan, some lady is in our face telling us to get lost or whatever. He doesn't have whatever, I don't know, he doesn't ever want to talk to us. We'll see him peeking out of the blinds of the apartment. The girl he lives with, her mother runs the apartment complex, which complicated us talking. And we knew Dylan was behind the front door while we're banging on it because of two things. Number one, we could hear him scurrying. And number two, there's a dog barking, and suddenly the dog goes silent when someone approaches. And the dog's only going to go silent if the owner or somebody the dog's comfortable with is quieting the dog. And so we knew Dylan was behind the door, and the girlfriend's out there,
While all of this was unfolding, Brandy and George had gone to try to track down Chelsea, who was Jet's girlfriend back when Christian died. They made contact with her at her place of work, and she was willing to talk. They were unable to record the conversation, but here's Brandy recapping it.
Chelsea was hesitant initially about talking to us, but it may have been more so because of the environment where she was interviewed at briefly was actually at her place of employment. And so her work itself was busy. It was an unannounced interview, so she wasn't expecting us. I think it kind of caught her by surprise, but she was polite and she was cooperative and was willing to provide some information to us. She stated that at the time of Christian's death, she was dating one of the potential witnesses, Jet Miller, and was actually staying at Jet Miller's family home off and on while they were dating. The day before Christian's death, on what has been referred to as gun night, Chelsea actually got invited to hang out with Jet Miller and the others to go and do what she called drive around and drink. She chose not to go that evening. I believe she said she had class. She's in college the next day and chose not to go. She did say that now she regrets not going because maybe the outcome would have been different, or at least she would have known who was all at gun night and possibly who was there at the apartment the next day. She stated that she has not spoke to Jet or Whitley regarding the events. Something else that was interesting, just through conversation, I don't know that she felt that there was anything suspicious there, but talked about how Jet Miller and Hayes Mitchell were good friends, and also that their family were friends and spent a lot of time at each other's homes. Chelsea has been through some hard times, but looks like she's really getting herself together. And she had talked about, too, just recently losing another young friend or family member of somebody that had just recently passed away within 6 months of us interviewing her. And we talked about a lot of the lives that have been lost there around Meridian. And it's an unfortunate situation. I think if they had maybe latched on to some other opportunities, that they wouldn't have got caught up in these crossfires, so to speak.
Two other names that kept popping up in this case, who we haven't mentioned before, were Devin and Travis, who were dating at the time of Christian's death. They were in the same circle of friends as many of the people we've mentioned in this, and apparently, Whitley stayed with them for a while, starting just days after Christian's death. So we were curious to find out what all they heard about Christian. Mike, Claudia, and I drove to Devin's house to try to speak with her.
This driveway?
Yep.
All right. Ready to roll? Two guys. That could be bad. Okay, be nice. Smile.
Should I stay in here for now?
Just for now, yeah. Oh, look at the cat.
You may come out with you or no?
No, I'm staying here first.
All right, cool.
Hey, how y'all doing?
So he said she's not there currently.
So. What do you think happened?
He says that she's not there. He says that she's working. And that I gave him my number and he said I'll let her know to give you guys a call. But he said a better time would be on the weekend at like 10 a.m.
Hours later, Claudia got a call from Devin.
Hi, is this Devin?
This is.
Hi, Devin. It's Claudia.
Hi.
The phone call wouldn't provide us much help, as she stated she didn't have any information related to the case. But we figured it was still worth trying to track down her ex, Travis. So Mark's group drove over to Travis's house to try to speak with him.
This is Travis.
Thankfully, Ray called them up shortly after this and let them know they wouldn't be able to find Travis at his home. She had done some digging and learned that he had recently been arrested and was being held in a correctional facility. So Mark G. and Troy reached out to the Central Mississippi Correctional Facility in Pearl and were able to set up a visit with him the next morning. In the evening of day one, we were able to gain access to the apartment Christian lived in. Ray had contacted the current tenants, and they had no issue letting us in, so we all met at the apartment. Christian's brother Josh also met us there. The main purpose of going to the apartment was to have Ryan Ryder, who made the trip with us, do a scan of the apartment with the Faro, a laser scanner that creates 3D images for the purposes of crime scene reconstruction. You may remember Ryan from episode 8, centered around forensics, where he discussed his findings.
I have a question. Where was the couch when y'all lived here?
It was wraparound. It went this way and wraparound right there. TV was right here.
Okay, wait. So talk to me, because I have to visually understand this. So it goes this way, around that way?
Yeah.
So it's closer So you guys sat here generally, or you sat on this side?
Generally, they'd sit on this side because the TV was right here, right in front.
Okay.
There was a coffee table right here in front. I mean, that's pretty much all
that
in this room.
Open or closed normally?
Closed normally. That was where I was sitting.
That's the room you were in,
yeah.
And this is the room that Christian was in. Hey, Mark.
Is that the room where the bed was found?
Yeah.
Like cut.
Yeah.
Will you shut the...
Being in the apartment where everything actually happened was surreal. We had heard about the size of the apartment, but we were all shocked at how small the place really was once inside. Josh gave us a tour of the place, starting downstairs where the living room, kitchen, and Christian's bedroom were. And then we moved upstairs. At the top of the stairs was the bathroom, and to the left of that was Josh's bedroom. Ryan maneuvered around the apartment, taking scans from various spots that would culminate into one 3D image of the place. We also brought a decibel meter with us and decided to do a sound test just for our own curiosity because of the story that Whitley slept through a 45 caliber gun in this apartment.
But the furthest away she would be right here.
Yeah, I think the couch was like somewhere right here because it was too big. I mean, it's a pretty small apartment, so
yeah.
And it was like a full-sized wraparound couch.
Mark borrowed two pans from the current tenants and set up in the bathroom and tried to create as loud a noise as he possibly could. I stayed downstairs with my recorder at the exact spot where Whitley claimed to have been sleeping.
All right, Jacob, you ready?
Sorry, we worked too long together.
Think the neighbors can hear that?
I bet. So
from there you could, I used to be able to hear them talking in that other apartment, like from sitting in that room.
109.8.
Buying new pants, by the way.
No. We dented the whole bottom.
While this test doesn't really tell us how loud a gunshot from a 45 would have been in the apartment, it at least gives us an idea, and it was loud. We were able to get up to about 110 decibels. As a comparison, according to the Center for Hearing and Communication, a garbage disposal is about 80 decibels, a tractor, 90, a car horn, 110, live music, 120, also the threshold for pain, a jackhammer, 130. And a jet engine taking off is 150. A gunshot from a 45 registers about 157 decibels. Once our work at the apartment was finished, we paid the tenants for their damaged pans and thanked them and headed over to the Andriacchio's home for dinner and called it a night. The next morning, we set up to try to find two more people that we wanted to try to speak with before leaving town.
How you doing?
Mike, Jay, and Claudia set out to find a guy named Burns, who we were told was close friends with Jet and Hayes around the time of Christian's death. They went to several places trying to locate him with no success, but eventually they found him at his family's business, and Burns was willing to talk. His father was also present. Here's what he had to say.
I am Burns, actually.
Oh, yeah? How you doing, man? How you doing, sir?
Fine, how are you?
Good, good. My name's Jay, by the way.
Jay?
Yeah, yeah. We're just coming to talk to him to ask him a couple questions about what happened with Christian. Hang that one up. So, not that you're involved, but just overall about the people, because we don't know the town, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What Christian, who is this?
Andriacchio.
With you know the Whitley Goodman girl. Remember?
Yeah. The girl in the keys.
The tub.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, yeah.
There's been a lot of new stuff that has come up, so it's So. But yeah, no, we just wanted to know because, for example, when the day it happened, I know you guys linked up like a week or so after or whatnot. But my question is, before that, what was like her demeanor itself?
She was very manipulative. She made herself the victim, and she was bad back then.
You knew Jet, right?
Yeah, I know Jet. I don't really favor Jet too much.
Yeah.
I
talked to him yesterday, so.
Yeah,
he's
saw him.
He's not a very reliable source.
No, but he's,
he's...
You can tell when you were talking to him that he's just trying to put blame on everybody else. Everything was, it was deflecting.
Him and Matt had conflicting stories of when they shot the guns or something.
When they were
one said she didn't shoot, one said she did.
Wait, you weren't there the night before where they were shooting out there in the field or whatever?
I don't think they went shooting.
No?
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. I heard they never even went shooting.
And how is Jet overall as like a person?
He's always been kind of a shady person, you know what I mean? He's not a, I don't know, he's kind of like, I think he has multiple personalities that he probably hides and tucks some stuff deep down that he probably doesn't want anybody to know.
Were you friends with Hayes?
Hayes Mitchell?
Mitchell, yeah.
We were acquaintances, but he's like Jet. That's another Jet.
Yeah.
That's Jet's best friend.
Right.
Which is, yeah, that's...
But there was a point where he was going to provide information that he passed away, right?
That's crazy. He could manipulate something like that. He got me several times. He's the DA's son and bought a hot pistol for me one time that wasn't hot. It was just, I had gotten it and...
And sold it, yeah, like you didn't know about it.
He wrote me a bad check. I had to call the DA.
The fucking DA's son.
I had to tell him his son wrote me a bad check. Nobody paid me, but he's dead now.
How did you hear it went down for Christian?
I heard Whitley was supposedly asleep or whatever, barred out in the apartment. And I've been in those apartments. I wasn't long ago, I was in one of the apartments.
It's small.
Yeah, they're not big. I don't care how many Xanax you eat, you still hear that.
You're going to hear that shit, yeah.
You're going to hear it, and you're not going to forget it.
What did, after it happened... I know I was after it happened, you guys hooked up or whatever, but what had she say? Like, what did she change? Because a lot of people told us they changed the story like 3 times.
She really didn't want to speak on it, but you could tell she didn't really feel any...
Like remorse?
Remorse or anything. She had, she was laughing, carrying on.
Yeah, a lot of people said 2 days later, she was like if nothing happened.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
But the night of Christian, what is the story?
I heard that supposedly he shot himself or whatever because of, Dylan, I've actually asked Dylan the story too. Dylan, and I used to be friends with Dylan for a little while, and of course you see people's true colors, but.
Right. Well, what did Dylan tell you?
He said that when he came in, Christian had the gun and was, you know, talking to him, like, saying that he was going to kill Matt or whatever, or whoever, or she was riding around with, supposedly, a drug dealer. And then Dylan took the gun away from him, and Christian asked him to go get him something to eat. And when he left and he came back, he found, he said he went up the stairs and was asking for Christian. Or it might have been Whitley said that. But I can't remember. Cause they tried to keep their stories pretty damn good. But he said that the shower was running or something.
And he didn't hear nothing.
He didn't hear anything. And they said he opened the door.
Specifically question, though. Like, the night they were shooting guns beforehand.
I don't think they ever did.
You don't think they ever did?
I don't think they ever shooting.
All right. And around here, as far as...
Who all said that they were... Who all was with them and they said they were shooting?
So there were 5?
I can get the truth.
Jet said it was him, Matt, Whitley, and there was 2 other ones that he doesn't want to name that
Matt
were there.
Didn't want to name them.
Said they haven't been brought up, so I don't want to get them involved. Those are the other two. I don't know who those other two are, but we could tell.
The reason he doesn't want to fucking tell you is because he knows they didn't shoot those fucking guns at night. That makes too much damn sense.
I got you. I can see that.
I can do some damn digging for real.
Hey, whatever you can. You know, if you hear something, just I'll send you a message, and you know that just anything that can help us like piece everything out. You know, that's all we're trying to do.
The last person that was willing to talk with us on the trip was Travis. If you remember, Mark G. and Troy had set up a meeting with him in the correctional facility he was being held in. They were able to meet with him in the warden's office. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Are you cuffed up?
No, sir.
Oh, my name's Mark Gillespie.
Yes, sir.
This is Troy Fleming.
How are you?
Why don't you have a seat? Good. Well, you probably have no clue as to why we're here.
Yes,
sir. I'm a private investigator. I'm from Texas. This is my identification. And Troy Fleming, is from Virginia. We're here to talk to you about Christian Andriacchio.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
This is the second time somebody's come and talked to me about this.
Who came the first time?
Some people from the NBI. They come and talk to me about it. I know Dylan and all them real well, you know what I mean? A day after it happened, Willie came and stayed with me for like 2 weeks, you know what I mean?
The following day?
Yes, sir.
Where was she staying before that
with
day?
Christian.
Okay, so she stayed with you because she had nowhere else to go, or
with me and the girl I was with at the time, they were good friends, I guess. Whitley, she came and stayed for like 2 weeks, and she never really said anything about it. I never really asked her anything about it. You know what I mean?
Did that strike you odd?
That struck me odd whenever somebody that just, you know what I'm saying, found a dead body. You know, or she didn't necessarily find it, but a dead body was found in the place she was staying at. She's asleep. They was found upstairs, and she is out taking Xanax and partying the next day like it ain't nothing. You know what I mean?
The day after his death.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How well did you know Christian?
I knew Christian. I'd go over to his house some, and
on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very tight, very close, what would you rate your level of friendship with him?
Like 6, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. We, when he'd come home, we'd hang out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I knew when he'd come home, like, Christian's in town, you know what I'm saying, or something like that, we'd hang out. But it wasn't like Dylan and Christian.
Was he pretty well liked by most people, everybody?
He wasn't disliked at all.
Would anyone have a grudge against him?
Just Whitley. You know, he said he was going to take the car or something like that, or, you know.
So tell me, what do you remember about their relationship in terms of...
She was fucking around on him all the time,
Did he know it?
He couldn't prove it, but he did prove it then. He proved it when he got back.
Did they fight over the course of their relationship? Was there any abuse from him onto her or from her onto him?
Mentally, that I know of, yeah, because I know how she is. But, and if he cared anything about her, then yeah, there was definitely some... There was some, you know, mentally, she was definitely fucking him over.
Who's the district attorney?
Bilbo's not the district attorney anymore.
Who was the district? Was it Bilbo? Bilbo? Do you know him?
I know Bilbo.
Do you know...
I don't know, I'm really good friends with, was really good friends with Hayes, his son.
Hayes? Tell me about Hayes.
Hayes was he used drugs too.
So did he run with your group?
Mm-hmm. Me and Hayes, he ran with me and Jet, you know what I'm saying? Like me and Jet. And
all right, well, let me ask you this then. Let's talk about Hayes and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about what it takes to be a district attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Was Hayes' dad a district attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I were to say that the district attorney is probably one of the most powerful people in a city, in a county, mm-hmm. would you agree with me?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The only reason I'm in here is because I violated probation. You know what I'm saying? I did that. I shouldn't have done that, but I didn't have any serving time or prison time. You know, me and Hayes were in Jackson the day before I had court on this charge, and Hayes got pulled over. I was actually going there to see some girl or whatever, and Hayes got pulled over in Jackson, and he was drunk. He was going 60 and a 15, I think.
Huh.
And yeah, and he actually just shot a pistol out the window at some deer. Alright, I'm in the vehicle behind him, and he's gone. I'm like, man, what the hell? In a residential neighborhood, like a gated community. Well, the security guard pulls him over, calls the police. I go up there, I get the girl out of his car. I'm like, alright. She's like, can you just take me? I'm like, yeah, I'll take you there. Well, he said, call my dad, tell him to come up here, tell him what's going on. I'm like, alright. I called Bilbo and let him know what was going on. And Bilbo had that guy out. I didn't have him out. They waited on Bilbo to pull up to where they pulled him over at, and the police waited on him.
So the police knew what was going on?
Yeah.
He saved him.
Bilbo came up there and says, I'll come get him. And he came and got him. I seen Bilbo and forth the next day, you know what I'm saying? Like,
all right. So what do you think the cops and the district attorney were thinking as to why they don't want to pursue this thing?
I mean, people know what's right, you know what I'm saying, and people know, but what can you do?
There's a lot of people that know about this, right?
Yes, sir.
And there's probably a lot of talk about it?
Oh, there's a lot of talk about it.
Are there people that want justice?
Yeah, the people that want Justin, there's the people that want it left alone because they don't want to dig any further. Because some stuff might come up. It's deep. Shit gets deep.
What do you mean by that? Do you have an idea of what it could be?
I don't know. There's some crazy people out that way. There's a lot of theories to this, you know what I'm saying?
Would drugs play any role in that? Can you further on that? Like, in what
way? Maybe meth. Right. Some meth, some ice. So that's a big thing out that way. Maybe, I don't know, this might sound crazy, but like there's a thing going around, like human trafficking thing. Mm-hmm. You know, might have had some parts in that, and somebody may have thought he was all in the way of that. And I don't know, that's just a theory, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
That's just my theory, or, you know, I have a couple of them, but I don't know.
Are you surprised that this hasn't been, this case has not been solved?
No, not after whenever, it wasn't 20 minutes after they found his body. They ruled it suicide, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you think that's pretty strange?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They didn't do no investigating on that. That's just from an outsider looking in.
Okay, and that's a good point.
They've done a more thorough investigation on a motor vehicle theft.
Right.
About something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's an interesting observation.
Yeah, somebody go out there and break a window in a car, they're going to, you know what I'm saying? They're going to be out there about an hour or two.
But, do you know why that would not be investigated?
Shit gets deep. That's whenever I go back to referring to. Shit gets deep around that way.
Well, this is what we want. We want to dig down into that shit, and we want to get to the bottom of it. Okay, and we want you to help us with. And we appreciate you talking to us sitting here.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. We're gonna get out of here.
Yes,
I really appreciate you talking with us.
Yes, sir.
That means a lot to us.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, Travis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
And wish you the best of luck.
The team left Meridian shortly after this, but the investigation was still far from over. Key West and Trip 1 to Meridian made for a great start, but things didn't stop here. According to Sheila, her investigations never stop, until there's some resolution. Once everyone traveled back to their homes and the dust settled, more opportunities would arise, and the investigation continued.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey Dennis, it's Sheila. I am calling to give you an update on what's going on in the case. So, here's the scoop. We still have several interviews that we want to do. It's amazing how many people are coming forward. We have a call with Arrington, and he called us. He was very responsive, saying that we could come down there and he would open up case file, which is excellent. We'll see if that actually happens. The witnesses are cooperating. A lot of people are scared, though, which is very interesting. You know, you're looking for the truth. People want to tell you the truth, but they're scared that harm will come to them, which really is concerning as far as a investigator, and it's something I did not expect.
Culpable is a production of Black Mountain Media and Tenderfoot TV in conjunction with Cadence 13. Executive producers are Dennis Cooper, Jacob Bozarth, Donald Albright, Payne Lindsay, and me, Mark Minery. Additional production by Whitney Bozarth, Courtney Cooper, Meredith Stedman, and Mason Lindsay. Audio editing, mixing, mastering, and sound design by Resonate Recordings. If you have a podcast or are considering starting a podcast of your own, I urge you to check them out at resonaterecordings.com. Theme music and score by Dirt Poor Robbins. Additional music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Cover art by Drew Bardana. I want to extend a special thanks to Mike Hines, Sheila Wysocki, and Lance Black. You can follow us on social media at Culpable Podcast. Show notes, as well as bonus content, can be found on our website, culpablepodcast.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please take time to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. And lastly, if you have any information related to the death of Christian Andriacchio, please email us at tips@blackmountainmedia.net or call us at 470-300-4915. Thank you for listening, and tune in for new episodes every Monday.